We're talking today with Jim Robb from the Livestock Market Information Center. And Jim, we're right here at the end of the first half of 2018. You know, when you think about where our cattle market has been this year, you know, surprising in any way is how things have responded. It seems like we come off, you know, really a pretty good 2017. We were able to build at least somewhat on that, I think, as well.
Yeah, 2018 so far has been a little bit better than anticipated in terms of cattle prices, a little bit better probably than anticipated in the wholesale meat markets, supported as it was last year by really good demand, both domestically. We've had great featuring on the beef products especially, and we've had strong export markets. So that demand side has really helped us absorb rather large beef production. And it's also on the pork side. We've had exports there that have buffered at the meat case so that beef hasn't faced quite as much competition. So turned out really pretty well for the first half of the year, and probably we put it in the category of better than anticipated.
One of the things that we really noted and talked about more than once in 2017 was how good of a job or how aggressive we were in moving cattle and pulling cattle forward. Really, most of 2017, we've done some of that in 2018, but what, maybe not quite as much?
Maybe not quite as much, but, you know, these cattle weights are right on the prior five-year average, above last year on the dressed weights, but that's probably anticipated. So we've continued to market cattle pretty aggressively. We saw real aggressive marketings in the second half of May, and that really set us up here for going into this new cattle on feed report to probably have another really good marketing month, which really sets us up pretty well for the next couple months. We'll still are headed for our seasonal lows in the fed cattle prices, and probably this fall we'll set our lows for the calf market. But, you know, the whole boat has been floated a little bit higher, and that's good news.
I guess what we've actually kind of moderated some of that increase that we've seen really going back for a bunch of years on the carcass weights. The carcass weights have continued to move higher, not so much the last year or so.
We look back over the last 20 years or so, we've added 5 to 6 pounds on a dressed weight basis every year to steer carcass weights. And we haven't done that for 2 years in a row now. Now, much of that is this very aggressive marketing. We had everything set up where the cattle feeder wants to sell animals because of the discount in the futures, and the packers had the best returns ever. 2018 is going to turn out to be our best year ever in cattle packer returns, and that's kept them wanting to buy cattle. So, you know, it's come together. I think the long-term trend on dress weights is still up, but maybe we've moderated that pace a little bit, and really the marketing rate is key to this, where we've gotten to this year.
Let's talk a little bit about the marketing side as far as both domestically and internationally. Domestically, it seems like we've had a fair amount of stability in our market as far as the consumers really continued to be, you know, really wanting beef and the desire to keep buying products, even as prices have kind of edged up on them in some cases.
Prices have edged up in some cases, but we've had really good featuring. So grocery stores especially, and even restaurants, have been adding to the size of hamburgers. We hadn't seen that trend in many years. Grocery stores have been featuring beef on the front page of ads across the U.S. Really does. So we've been benefited in the beef industry by using beef to attract customers in a very competitive environment in restaurants and grocery stores. And that's been a subtle factor here that's really played an important role in the beef industry.
I guess you mentioned the competitive nature of it. I noticed most recently one of the big players, McDonald's, is out there aggressively talking about their fresh beef, their fresh ground beef. And I guess they're really trying to meet some of these other folks that have stepped up selling hamburgers at higher prices to consumers.
Absolutely. We're selling higher prices, and the size of hamburger is getting bigger. We've added, and some of these companies have added another patty to the hamburger. And that's a trend that really goes against most of the last 20 years. And that's really a positive, and it's using beef as a marketing item. And that's a really a positive from a demand perspective.
Internationally, I know that we seemingly stepped back a little bit a couple of years ago, kind of consolidated, I guess you could say. But 2017 was really good, and we're beating it thus far in 2018.
We are, especially to the Asian markets, have been really strong this year. And then we've found with these strong Asian markets, you know, Australia has done well in those markets too. So we've all really done well. South Korea, Taiwan, Japan have been strong. And then some of the other markets around the world. This last month, we sold beef to 93 different countries. And that's a mark here. We get close to that 100 different countries. We're also broadening that market, which is good news too. But the strength has really been in the Asian markets on a year-over-year basis.
How much concern do you have about all of this? I don't know, maybe you want to call it noise regarding trade, tariffs, retaliation. I know that a lot of folks have kind of, you know, thought this is stirring it up, but we, at this point anyway, have not seen too much damage to the actual numbers.
We really haven't, and you know, these are companies making business decisions. So when you keep things kind of up in the air, I think it's a bit of a negative. But the quality of the product that we're producing and the rather strong incomes overseas have really been supportive in here. So these somewhat have counterbalanced some of the noise, as you called it. But we're concerned. We're actually a little bit more concerned in the poultry and especially the pork marketplace with this international trade situation than we are on the beef side. But there's a lot of unknowns in that arena. And these are key markets, and so we'll have to wait and see how it sort of unfolds.
Of course, we're all kind of hung together. We are joined at least partially at the hip. If somebody loses market share, if the pork folks are hurt because of tariffs, it can't hurt the other sectors, right?
Absolutely. It feeds back. If we don't sell the pork overseas, then we have to consume it in the U.S. These are largely fresh products, and you have to lower prices enough to absorb that. What we found, though, so far this year on the pork front is we've actually exported more than we anticipated, so we've had a little bit less competition in the meat case and the grocery stores especially. But that can turn very quickly in this international world, and that's kind of what we're keeping an eye on.
Right. Let's talk about for that cattle producer as we look at on the supply and the price outlook. I know we're watching really closely how many heifers are being held back by our beef cow operators. Our operators have built their herds the last several years after the drought of what about 2012-2013 in that time period. But we seemingly are getting close to maybe where the ceiling is on the overall beef cow herd.
We're really in a transition point of time. Last 2 weeks on heifer slaughter, we've been up. 1 week we were up over 20%. This last week of actual data, we were up year over year 12%. So we're moving more heifers into the beef production system rather than the breeding herd side. We've also seen beef cow slaughter up dramatically year over year. So we're making a... This year is a key transition point in time. We're certainly moderating the rate of growth rather significantly compared to recent years. And at this pace, we get to January 1, 2019, and we'll probably have well less than 1% growth of the nation's beef cow herd. That's really very close to population growth. So, the supply side story is changing rather quickly. We look at the cyclical decision making that needs to be done by ranchers. We're looking at 2019 and 2020 probably for higher prices on calves and yearlings. And that's takes some planning now. That's not really that far away. So we'll be through kind of the cyclical lows and probably setting year-to-year price increases. And if the corn crop doesn't get real small or something hit us along the side of the head, we think calf prices in 2019 will start clearly moving higher year over year.
So profitability within the cow-calf sector, where do you see it?
Well, we're about break even now on our cost structure on cash costs, including pasture rent. I think profitability will improve in 2019 for the cow-calf sector. And then we get to 2020 and we're probably looking, you know, there's a lot of unknowns in the overall economy. But from a supply standpoint, we should be looking at higher prices and back to some profitability. Now, we had a pleasant surprise in 2017 in terms of, you know, better profits than anticipated. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll be back to those levels in the next couple of years.
For that producer, what sort of, you know, what how do they best get their arms around where we are right now?
Well, I think, you know, you kind of watch the big picture, but it's time to start planning in terms of, you know, these breeding decisions, and if you're going to expand your herd or bring somebody into the operation, now is the time to start doing that because the cyclical changes are ahead. So how do you measure that? You the couple keys right now is watching the corn crop. That looks like it's getting bigger in the Midwest, have a long ways to go. That can always throw a monkey wrench in this. But I think you kind of keep an eye on this heifer slaughter level, and that's really going to be the key. That's the foundation here that is adjusting rather quickly.
Well, last question, as far as talking here around the table with one of the top-notch seed stock folks in America, in Donald Brown, talking about the genomics and how things are really accelerating even faster with a lot of these breeds and how we're able to select better and better quality replacement females that can end up, trickling down into a lot of these commercial herds. When we were back in that 2012, 2013, and we lost so many of our beef cows because of the drought, and we started repopulating, we did it at a higher genetic level than ever before, right?
Absolutely, both in terms of a lot of the maternal characteristics, but also in terms of the quality. We look at the quality grade flowing through the system, even with weights that are very similar to last year. You know, the percentage of cattle grading choice and prime is up. And so, you know, and that's really key to the demand side. So I think there's a lot of technology aspects. And one of the keys in cow-calf and stocker country is how to take advantage of that, maybe not being too early, but being recognizing that we're in a very dynamic time. And I think the technology front is going to be one of the things over the next 4 or 5 years that producers are going to be looking at a lot of opportunities, but also having to put a sharp pencil to the economics. And it's going to be an interesting time. And I think potentially a rewarding time in the cow-calf business.